You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yes, welcome back. Hour number two of Hardline here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Joe Beamer with you. And joining me for the next hour is former State Senator George Maziarz. George,
morning, Joe.
Great to have you back in studio.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back here.
George, I'll tell you, you know, I've always followed politics. Obviously, I've lived my whole life in New York State. This might be the most entertaining back-to-back-to-back that we've had with Albany in a long time.
This has set everything on its heel. I've never, you know, this ranks right up there with the Cuomo scandal and the, at least to the inside political people, the Cuomo scandal, the Elliott Spitzer scandal. I mean, this has really set Albany on fire.
Before we get into the specifics, I have to ask you this question. And again, I don't mean this to come across as mean or anything, but can Kathy Hochul catch a win? I mean, it has been a real tough first few months of her governorship.
It sure has been, and you know it's not going to bode well for her in the Democratic primary. And I think it really gives, which is almost an impossibility, a Republican a real shot at getting elected to the top spot in November.
And that's something I want to talk about in the next segment, because okay, you've got the primaries and you've got the Republicans. But first, this redistricting. George, something that I think most people didn't even pay attention to, right? They thought, okay, you've got Democrats in Albany. Yeah. These are going to be the districts. I mean, even so much so where Chris Jacobs was starting to campaign in parts of his new district.
In Watertown.
And now this all thrown out by Democrat judges agreeing with the GOP.
Exactly. You know what happened here, Joe? The backstory is the Democrats in Albany, they just went too far. They you know, the old saying, you can go a bridge too far. They did it. They got together, I'm sure, on a national level with Nancy Pelosi, with her senior staff people, with Sean Patrick Mahoney. He's a Democratic congressman from the Hudson Valley region in New York, but he's also chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And Sean Patrick Mahoney and Nancy Pelosi put pressure on Senator Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Mike Gianaris and Carl Hastie and Kathy Hochul to come up with a plan that would probably pick up as many as four, maybe five Democratic congressmen here in New York State. They controlled both houses of the legislature. They controlled redistricting. They could do it. And it was way over the top. And ironically, they thought in their minds, I'm sure they thought, they said, look it. Ultimately, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be sued in a local county court. It's going to go to an appellate division, most of whom judges are appointed by a Democratic governor. But it'll end up in a court of appeals. All the seven judges there were appointed by a Democratic governor. All of them tend to be liberal, left-leaning judges. And judges sometimes can be very political, even though they're sitting on the bench, particularly when it comes to a political issue like drawing district lines. Well, to the shock, I think, of everyone, even to the Republicans, the seven judges in a 4-3 decision, very close decision, agreed that the lines were not fairly drawn for what the real unusual part was. They said they were not fairly drawn for the state Senate or for the Congress. Now, the judges said, it's a very interesting decision, the case that was put before them was about the Senate lines and the congressional lines, not the New York State Assembly lines. The judges said in their decision, we may have had the same feeling and made the same decision about the Assembly lines, but that's not a question before us today. Well, guess what? 2 days ago, somebody in the Capital District region filed a lawsuit against the Assembly lines now. So, you know, it's a pretty short time frame, but we could find the Assembly in question now, too.
And so now it has to go all back to draw in the district. So the map that we've seen, the map that you and I talked about, that will not be.
That's gone.
So what is this next step? because it's pretty much going back to the drawing board.
It is going back. Well, not necessarily for the legislature going back to the drawing board. The judge McAllister in Bath, New York, he actually has appointed what's called a special master to draw the lines. And the special master is an individual. His name is Jonathan Seras, C-E-R-U-A-S, I think that's pronounced correctly. He's a political scientist at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. So a college professor from Pittsburgh is going to be drawing the lines for the congressional seats and the state Senate seats in New York State. And let me just go back here a little bit. All this is because of a law that was passed in 2014 by the legislature, which, by the way, I co-sponsored. It was a constitutional amendment, went before the voters. The voters approved it in 2014, and the court upheld that it was the law of the land, and it should be followed. And we are where we're at.
Because I was going that was my next question. I was going to say, we're used to seeing maps like this in New York State, right? I mean, when they
redrew. We are.
So what will this mean? Because it's not going to be. It's going to be, as you said, the guy in Pittsburgh. What do you expect the newer map to look like?
It is anybody's guess. Both sides have been, when I say both sides, Republicans and Democrats, have been given an opportunity to submit maps to the what's called special master. He can follow one side, can take a look at both of them, can reject both of them, can draw his own. If you look at some of his previous writings, which I did real quick on the internet, he believes very strongly in keeping what he terms communities of interest together and towns and cities together. Now, I have to tell you, first I should tell you a little bit about my own history with reapportionment. Back in 2002, I was not a part of the redistricting commission in the Senate. I was very involved in it at the time. But in 2010, 2012, I was on the commission to draw the Senate lines. You know, the Senate would draw the Senate lines, the Assembly would draw the Assembly lines, and we'd agree to accept each other's lines. That's basically how it worked, and that's not how it's working now. But anyway, what could happen today? Think about this. This Professor Seras, he could come out, and this is all – what I'm telling you right now is all hypothetical. The numbers that I'm using are hypothetical, but I think they're pretty close. They're population numbers. The city of Buffalo, population approximately 275,000 people. A state Senate district is about 320, maybe 325,000. Okay. He could say you got the city of Buffalo, population 275,000, is split into two Senate districts. That shouldn't be. It's one community. It should all be together. So he could take the city of Buffalo and the town of Hamburg, which is right next door, adjacent to the city of Buffalo, and say, wait a minute, Hamburg's got a population of 50,000. City of Buffalo, 275,000. That's one Senate district, which means Tim Kennedy and Sean Ryan are in the same district, if you have two incumbents in one district, one of them is not going to survive the election in November or primary election. That could, again, this is very much a hypothetical, but this professor from Pittsburgh could do that. Let's use another example on the other side of the aisle. Niagara County. Niagara County is a population, I think it's just a little over 200,000 people. The town of Amherst is 125,000. The county of Niagara and the town of Amherst could be one Senate district. Now, the special master could look and say that the Republican districts, my old district included, and currently Senator Ort's district, they tend to be long, meandering stretch districts. My old district was Niagara Falls from the Niagara River all the way to the Genesee River in Rochester. Pat Gallivan's district stretches way into Monroe County. Currently Ed Rass district, the old Mike Ranzenhofer district, again, stretches from Amherst all the way over into Monroe County. He might say, the special master might say, why do we have these? Now, obviously, these districts were drawn, to put Republicans together and Democrats together. And he may say something like, Niagara County and Amherst are adjacent to each other, kind of, you know, similar characteristics, all in Western New York, you know, put them together, that, which would put Ed Rath and Rob Ort in the same Senate district. Now, you know, there may be a difference in a congressional district line. There's definitely going to be a difference in a congressional district lines. You know, maybe Senator Ort would say, you know, now is my opportunity to run for Congress. This could have just an unbelievable effect in both political parties.
And you're talking about the Senate districts, if they, you know, because everything now is drawn with party in mind, right?
Yes. Let,
as you said, the new districts that were rejected was, let's get four or five new congressional seats for Democrats. Well, let's make these. So, but now you have the guy at Carnegie Mellon. He's not he's not thinking parties in mind. So we could have very competitive districts in New York State.
You could have extremely competitive districts. Like let's say, again, I'm going to go back to my example of Niagara County and Amherst. Let's say that's put into one Senate district. And again, Rob Ort may choose to run for a higher up, may choose to run for Congress. Ed Rath, you know, may choose to then run for state senate. But that becomes a very competitive district for a Democrat.
Right.
You know, with Amherst trending Democratic, the city of Niagara Falls in that district. I mean, I would tell you this with absolute certainty, the Democrats would come up with a very competitive candidate for that state senate seat. You know, so you could have districts where it doesn't look very good for an incumbent. Incumbent decides not to run. You could have a district where a new candidate is going to say, hey, this is set for me now, or good for me, good for my political party. I'm going to jump into it now. Or you could have an incumbent that doesn't have a district at all anymore, you know.
And that's, you know, looking at our two congressional members of Congress here, Chris Jacobs and Brian Higgins, because Tom Reed is stepping aside, and that district will be
right.
gone. Is there a case where Higgins or Jacobs might be without a district, or it might be too difficult for them to have a district to move into?
I'm certain, it's up to the special master, but a major city like Buffalo, I don't see him breaking that up.
Okay.
So Brian Higgins, I think, is probably, again, you know, it's all hypothetical, is probably going to be pretty safe as a Buffalo-based district. Now, Brian may get some more Republican. He may go further into Niagara County. I think he has the city of Niagara Falls now. He may go further into Niagara County. You know, maybe if you take the city of Buffalo, town of Tonawanda, you know, in Niagara County, that could equal, I think a congressional district may be as many as 600,000 today. What I don't think is going to happen, if you go back to read the professor's previous comments about redistricting, I don't think you're going to see these long meandering, you know, this district that was drawn, from Niagara Falls to Watertown. You know, or the one where Claudia Tenney was going to run from central New York almost all the way to Chautauqua County. I don't think you're going to see that, because those districts were drawn, you know, for political purposes. I mean, right. Every Republican that they could find, the Democrats threw into those, I think, four districts in the state. So there would only be four Republican congressmen instead of eight. And Democrats would have a net pickup of four. I don't think you're going to see those anymore. So Claudia Tenney, I hope she didn't buy a house in Chautauqua County, because she may be going back to Utica.
But so he will draw these, and as you said, both parties can submit what they think is a fair district.
Yeah.
But once he has his map drawn, no one in Albany has a say?
No. The court will he's going to submit it to the judge. Actually, Judge McAllister will have the final say. He can look at it. I imagine he could reject it, maybe appoint another special master. I don't think the timeline would allow that to happen. I think the judge has pretty much said, this is the guy who's going to draw the lines. I couldn't see a scenario where the judge would reject the master's plan that he appointed. You know, so I don't know where the judge came up with this individual, but
I got to ask you this, because we know how lobbyists work, right? And we know how politicians. Is there going to be this convoy of people from Albany to Pittsburgh to talk with this special master?
I don't think so. I think these people tend to be very independent-minded. He's a college professor. He probably thinks he knows everything under the sun about redistricting. No offense to college professors, but you know, he's probably never run for political office in his life. He's probably never been involved in a political campaign in his life. I don't know that, but, you know, I sort of suspect that that could be the case. And he's probably written articles, written books maybe on reapportionment, redistricting, and the judge heard about him, maybe was referred to the judge, and the judge said, this is the guy.
I'll tell you, George, this is all so fascinating. I'm not done with my questions. Unfortunately, the clock means we have to take a quick break before we come back.
No problem.
Talk more about the districts, also talk about the upcoming gubernatorial campaign, which we've had every candidate except for Kathy Hochul. So that and much more with George Maziarz after the news here on WBEN. This is Hardline. We have former State Senator George Maziarz on talking about the redistricting and the roadblock that they are facing now. And George, we stopped, we went to break talking about what these districts will look like. The other issue that is going to face them is now everything is going to be happening so quickly with an August primary and then Election Day a few months later.
Well, you may actually end up with, and I think the legislature is actually, I think they're meeting tonight in conference, and probably both sides. And this week, they're going to have to decide on a primary. Right now, the primary is scheduled for June. That can't happen for the congressional lines or the state Senate lines. Now you have this assembly lawsuit that was recently filed. And again, go back to the Court of Appeals decision, and it says we would probably rule the same way on the assembly lines. It wasn't in front of us. Well, now it may be in front of them. So what you could, a couple of alternatives. You could have a primary in June for governor, which I'm sure I'm sure some of the candidates, because you know you spend a lot of money, would like an early primary, or the legislature could decide, you know, it's too confusing to have two primaries, it's too expensive to have two primaries for the counties and so forth. So we're moving the whole thing, all the primaries, till August, which clearly gives, I think, you know, it may work out for Governor Hochul, like you, I think you said. She's had a pretty bad few weeks here. You know, she may want a little bit more time in the primary. The challengers might say, you know what, give us more time. She may even have more bad weeks, you know. On the Republican side, you know, Lee Zeldin is the favored candidate in the Republican one, but, you know, Harry Wilson is a guy with a lot of money. Rob Astorino is out campaigning. I received today, I'm a prime Republican voter. I received yesterday, a huge mail piece from Rob Astorino. You know, so he's out there campaigning. So you could, you know, they could move the gubernatorial primary till August, too, the whole thing.
Now, we talked about what the Senate and the congressional districts and who could be in trouble and what, you know, matchups. Locally, if this assembly thing went to a judge, who locally in the assembly might have a more competitive district or might be out of luck in a new drawn assembly district?
You know, again, if you read this judge's prior opinions or his writings about redistricting, he's not going to split up communities. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the assembly districts as I am the Senate districts. But, you know, the other problem you have is in Western New York, and, you know, there's been a real population loss, but there's been a real population gain in places like, you know, the Hudson Valley, the capital region of Albany, and certainly in New York City and on Long Island. So you're going to see maybe a shift of seats away from Western New York down there, which may throw incumbents against each other, you know, in districts drawn like that. It could really upend a lot of political careers.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, we know about the congressional and state Senate, and now this week we could be talking about the assembly. I mean, this thing is far from over.
It's far from over. This master, you know, again, my impression is this isn't something that you can hire a lobbyist and lobby him for. You know, I think he's probably already at work. He's probably hired some staff people, probably students, who maybe. Pretty left-leaning, and they're going to draw these districts. They're going to go on a computer, and they're going to, you know, draw districts on what the technology is telling them an ideal Senate district should look like, or congressional district or assembly district, what an ideal district should look like in upstate New York and Western New York, given the demographics, given, you know, the racial makeups of communities and so forth, the communities of interest, whatever that means, you know, and they are going to put, I think, probably a very low level of interest in, you know, where an incumbent may live, or what an incumbent's affiliation may be. I think that's going to be, I think that's not important to them at all.
Wow. Now, as we said, primaries move to August. When does this have to be done? When will we know these new districts?
Well, I think the judge gave a deadline I believe it was the third week of May.
Oh, wow.
But I'm guessing. But I think it was the third week of May, maybe the last week of May, that he had to come up with, the special master had to come up with a final district. He did give an opportunity for all sides, for the Republicans and the Democrats in New York, to come up with potential districts of their own. Now, I don't know if the congressional Republicans are going to do that or the state Senate Republicans are going to do that. Some of them, or the Democrats, some of them may see that process as just a process in futility, that this guy's going to do what he wants to do anyway. You know, he's a political scientist, you know, whatever that is. And, you know, it's just a waste of time doing it. I don't know. They may throw caution to the wind. You know, right now the Republicans are feeling really good. I think overall, you know, certainly this has been a very, very bad week for the Democrats because they overreach, as I said earlier. This has been a very, very good week for the Republicans. But I will tell you this, Joe, I learned a long time ago in politics something that a late great Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno used to say all the time. In politics and government, pendulums swing fast, you know. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Elliot Spitzer or Andrew Cuomo. You know, what I'm trying to make the point is that next week, you know, it may not look so good for the Republicans,
right,
you know, when these districts come out.
But
who knows?
As we said, heading into the primaries and then the gubernatorial election, Kathy Hochul has had some losses, especially the last month with her lieutenant governor. And now this redistricting loss, I think that makes all Democrats look bad. Is there a chance for a Tom Suozzi to pull the upset in the primary?
Sure there is. You know, particularly with the voters on Long Island and Hudson Valley. You know, the other thing is the state budget. I mean, they're spending an additional, Kathy Hochul's first budget, they're spending an additional, I think it's an additional $20 billion. And it doesn't seem to me like anybody who's out there like saying, yeah, this is a great budget, they're rah-rahing about the budget, you know? You know, I mean, I'm talking about Democrats.
Right.
You know? I mean, it seemed to me like, you know, usually you would hear people, you know, special interest groups, you know, maybe NYSET, the teachers union, saying, oh, great, this is a great budget, great for education. You didn't really hear much of that. You didn't hear, you know, the child care advocates or the developmentally disabled advocates saying, yeah, I don't think anyone were out there saying it's a bad budget, but you just didn't. I thought that the governor would have stirred up a whole lot more positive news about that. She didn't. And then, of course, the lieutenant governor thing was just, that was unbelievably bad management there. I mean, how you could have not looked into his background a whole lot better. I mean, you know, there were rumors, and you hate to pay attention to that, but, you know, in Albany about this individual, I was shocked when she picked him, to be honest with you, but, you know, wasn't, and he shouldn't ask me for my opinion.
But, you know, heading in, and we had Tom Suozzi on last week, and he talked about how, you know, far left the Democrat Party has gone, and he's the more moderate candidate.
Yeah, he is.
With all that, New York State does seem to be the voting base, more the voters going to the far left. Do you think someone like a Tom Suozzi could win in New York State?
I think he could. I think he could. You know, it's very difficult with the city of New York being the base of the Democratic Party. But Long Island, voter turnout, if they move the primary to August, you know, people in August are doing a lot of things, you know, family vacations, summer, swimming in the pool, and thinking about voting. So you could get a very low voter turnout. You get a very low voter turnout in a primary election. First of all, primary elections, you have a low turnout to begin with. You get a primary in a beautiful summer day in August, you're going to have an exceptionally low voter turnout.
Right.
Anything can happen in a low voter turnout primary. That's why, getting back to, I think, you know, some of our current state senators like George Borrello in the Southern Tier. George Borrello might say, wait a minute, you know, and depending on where he ends up, where the congressional district ends up down there, George Borrello might say, hey, wait a minute, you know, Claudia Tenney's out of the picture now. I'm back in for Congress, you know, so who's going to run for state Senate? What the state Senate district boundary is going to be? I mean, this could really upend everything.
It's so interesting with how many people right now don't know in 3 months what they'll be doing.
They,
you know, I mean, if they'll be running or not.
They, you know, right now, You know, Ed Rath doesn't have a Senate district. He got reapportioned out of existence. You know, by the end of May, he could be a candidate for Congress in a heavy Republican district. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's stunning. It's amazing.
It's like I said.
And by the way, he'd be a very good congressman too.
I'm having fun following this. I really am. Now, talking about voter turnout. Because let's go into November. Let's say Kathy Hochul does win, goes November against Lee Zeldin. Now, I realize there's all these other elections going on, but midterm elections, it's nothing like a presidential year, right? It's still lower compared to presidential year. Does Kathy Hochul have an enthusiasm problem with the voters wanting to go out to vote for Kathy Hochul?
I think she does. I think she does. You know, probably not so much in Western New York because she's from here. But I think, you know, look, we talked about earlier, I mentioned, you know, losing population. In New York State has actually gained population. People don't see that, but New York State's actually gained population. But it's all been downstate. It's all been in the Hudson Valley. It's all been in the Capital District, New York City, and Long Island. You know, I think Lee Zeldin has a very good shot at it. You know, I think the bail reform law and the bail reform law that was initially passed was terrible. The reform to the reform that they did this year was just window dressing, and I think people see right through that. And that's going to be a tough road for Kathy Hochul to hold. Now, on a positive side, let me say this for Kathy Hochul is there are almost 3.8 million more Democrats in New York than there are Republicans. There are actually more blank registered voters in New York than there are Republicans. A very poor sign for Lee Zeldin. But, you know, on the other hand is a lot of those Democrats and people that are registered Democrat are conservative, maybe more middle-of-the-road Democrats that Lee Zeldin will appeal to.
Well, that was my next question. Say you were Lee Zeldin or you're running Lee Zeldin's campaign in with that differential of Democrats to Republicans and independents and all the other parties. What is your approach to, you know, obviously get all the Republicans, which I don't think will be that difficult, but also to appeal to those? And I know it seems this way, and it might not be this way, but to appeal to those remaining moderate Democrats that seem to be less and less getting the voice in New York State.
Yeah. Well, I maybe there are not a lot of Republicans out there that would like to hear this, but I think you have to almost maybe moderate the hard right message that a lot of, you know, very right wing Republicans have. You know, in New York State, you asked me what I would advise Lee Zeldin to do. I would say, look at what George Pataki did. Be more like George Pataki. You know, George Pataki won for governor 3 times. You know, George Pataki's sort of in this, I don't know, I don't mean to compare myself to him, but, you know, he's out of office. I'm out of office now. You know, I think the current Republican crop doesn't look much to history, you know, doesn't take much advice from old guys like me or George Pataki. But, you know, I think you got to look at what George Pataki did. I mean, 3 times he ran as a Republican for governor. Now, at the time he ran, there was probably 1.5 million more Democrats. You know, it's not like it is today. But, you know, he won. And he never got, Governor Pataki never received, I think, more than 25% of the vote in the city of New York. Never more than 25%. But he was able to make it up in the suburban counties like Nassau, Suffolk, Westchester, you know, Rockland, those counties. They love George Pataki. Lee Zeldin has to make them love him, too.
Was George Pataki the last elected governor to not be removed from office? Or to not leave office?
No, David Paterson wasn't removed from office. He decided not to run for office.
But he was never elected.
He was never elected. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Seems like so long ago,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
before we get out of here, one final question, because, you know, obviously nationwide, it looks like the midterms will benefit Republicans nationwide,
it
right?
Does. Yes, it does. Clearly.
So a year like this, and we're talking, you know, Lee Zeldin, more moderate, be like George Pataki, but would that also help him? Because nationwide, you have an unpopular Democrat president, right? You have a Congress that's unpopular and it's probably going to go back to Republicans, a Senate that's going to go back to Republicans. Does that ever translate in state elections, as we talked about those moderate Democrats? Are there going to be enough Democrats that are willing in such a polarized political climate to vote for Republican.
Oh, absolutely, because people watch, they watch Fox News and they watch national broadcasts like CNN, and you know, you could get the extremes disliking both of those. But I think people are more informed today. I think I think definitely the national trends affect even local elections. You know, more Democrats will be mad at somebody and come out to vote, and or Republicans the same thing. The Republicans will be very angry now with and people are angry. I mean, not necessarily from a partisan standpoint, but they're angry now that gas is over $4 a gallon.
Yeah.
You know, they're angry that their energy costs are going up. They're angry about a lot of things.
Speaking of gas, that's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. The gas cap that the state put on, the suspending some of the gas tax.
Right.
I saw in the Times Union that only 18% of that gas tax money actually goes to infrastructure. So could this be something that's more permanent, suspending it or capping the gas tax at a state level?
I don't think it'll be more permanent, but, you know, I think I saw there's a lot of publicity about the counties doing it, you know. But, you know, the one thing I haven't seen is the price of gas going down at the pump.
That's true.
You know, unless you can guarantee, I mean, it's going to make for a great press release when these county legislators are running for reelection. You know, I suspended the gas tax. But if it doesn't, this will be another thing we talked about, you know, making voters angry. You know, if they read, well, we suspended the gas tax and it had zero effect on the price of the pump, you know, that's not going to go over well.
I want to ask you on a national landscape, a national question. You know, as we talked about, Joe Biden is, you know, his approval rating is down. Republicans trying to get these midterm elections. If you're advising nationwide Republicans, what's the one thing not to do when it seems that November is a very, it's there. Congress is theirs for you to take. Where's a misstep Republicans could take from now to November?
Fighting amongst themselves in very harsh primary elections, getting off message. You know, I think Harry Wilson is running an interesting campaign. He's talking about taxes. He's talking about job creation in New York. He's talking about the loss of population in upstate New York. I don't think, at least I haven't seen it yet, Harry Wilson mentioned either of his two opponents once yet. I think he's very on message, and he certainly has the resources to do it. I think what could ruin it for the Republicans prior to the election is, you know, fighting amongst themselves. You kind of see a little bit of that on a national level recently with the tape that was released about Kevin McCarthy, the presumptive right. Speaker of the House. You know, I mean, that clearly was a conversation he was having with another Republican congressional person. I don't know who it was, but, you know, it clearly was. So fighting amongst themselves. Now, after the election, after they win, and I think they are going to win. I hope they win. After they win, Democrats and Republicans, they can screw up the governing process too.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder. That's a lot harder than the campaign process, by the way.
I'll tell you, with everything that's going on at the state level what we've talked about for the last hour, on top of that with midterm elections, this might be one of the most exciting election years I can remember in a long time.
I think you're absolutely right, Joe. As I said, I was in Albany for some pretty momentous events. You know, sadly, 9/11, the collapse of Governor Spitzer in just a matter of a week. I was not there when Andrew Cuomo resigned, but you know, I think this is a momentous happening in New York State. I mean, this is some professor from Pittsburgh is going to be drawing the lines for the Senate and the Assembly. This could really, as I pointed out, the two examples, you know, City of Buffalo, one state Senate district. You know, that means two good people, Tim Kennedy, Sean Ryan, are pitted together. You know, Sean Ryan may say, you know what, now's my chance to run for Congress, you know. So who knows? Or Tim Kennedy may run for Congress.
It's gonna be interesting, George, and we're lucky to have you here. I'm sure we'll be talking very soon again when these decisions come down.
We'll love to do it, Joe.
We'll dissect that map like we did the first one that now is not even happening.
Yeah.
Former State Senator George Maziarz, always great to have you in studio. Thanks for joining me this morning. I also thank Joe Lurigo. If you missed any of our conversation with George or with Joe, you can find that on demand at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app. I will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. here on WBEN.